Join with me in prayer, please. And Father, we thank you for our fathers. I thank you for my dad. I thank you for all the discussions we had in the milk barn. Thank you that you led him to talk to us boys. Thank you, Father, that above all, you are the example of how we should be. And yet there are times when we know we have failed. But in that failure, there is forgiveness and grace, and we thank you for that. Now bless us as we look at these verses from Luke. Open our hearts to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, find Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 through 32. 29 through 32. He said, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful minded or double minded, as it says. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye first," in Matthew, here it says, "but seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In the beginning, when God made man, he made him perfectly. And when God got through making his creation, chapter 1, it says, "And all that he made was good." So you and I were good in Adam and in Eve in the very beginning. And he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, that doesn't mean our physical body. It means our spiritual character, our personality. If you want to know something about what that's like, look at the fruit of the Spirit from the book of Galatians. That context gives you an idea of how God made us and how Adam and Eve were before sin. Now that's his perfect will for our lives. And someday, you and I will be like that in our new body, resurrected, glorified, perfect, good-looking body. You know, I told you when God put Adam to sleep and he made Eve, and the first time he saw Eve, he was hubba hubba. She's a beautiful woman. I got somebody like me. He hadn't had that before. Well, we all going to have that look. Perfect body. Don't got that now. Oh, man. Don't got that now. Will someday. But as we live, we do have the presence of the Holy Spirit producing in us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, on and on. As fathers, that character should develop more and more and more in our lives. Now, fathers sometimes have the tendency to be a little gruff. And mama comes along and, you know, behind him and kind of eases that gruffness. Now, in my wife's family, it was just the other way around. Her dad, she said, never corrected her. Never. I said, never? She said, never. I said, how about your mom? Oh, that's a different story, man. Her mom was the disciplinarian in the family. She's only about 5'1". And her dad was like 6'3". But he didn't do anything. Just gentle, different kind. God wants us to be an example for him. And so he gives us that example in the Word of God. He gives us the presence of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that produces in us the fruit of the Spirit, and helps show the world what the Father is. And so I want us to look at our wonderful Father from these verses. Now, Jesus, in the Gospels, referred to God the Father as my Father 53 times. He said our Father 21 times. And he said your Father 21 times in the Gospels. Now that's a pretty good definition and a pretty good description of who God the Father really is. Now Jesus in his humanity showed us what Adam was not. In the book of Romans, he's described as the second Adam. There's a difference there. He is perfect in every way. And he loved the Father. And he was obedient to the Father in every way. And from time to time, the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we know Jesus did everything perfectly. God gave testimony from heaven. All about that. And if you and I look at how Jesus lived and how he ministered and how he loved the Father and how they interacted, it'll help you and I in our relationship. Men, it'll help us set an example in the home. It'll help us with that leadership role that God has placed on us. Now, I know there are some here today that do not have a man in the home because of widowing. I understand that. But you still can be an example to others about God. Let's look at this. He first talks about our relationship. Verse 30, he says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. He's talking about Gentiles. Ethne. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Your Father? Verse 32, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not talking about wishful thinking here. He's talking about people who have a relationship with God the Father. Now, I remember reading in Romans something about the fact we all fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, not only physically but spiritually. But it also says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. We got a way to be saved. We got a way to get away from the death of sin. Somebody take that clock down. No, never mind. How do we have a relationship? How? By putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen to what he said in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. and 13. Get the page flipped, right? But as many as received him, that's to believe, that's to take his truth into your life. To them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now listen to what verse 13 says. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. He's not talking about a natural physical birth. He's talking about a spiritual birth. He said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a teacher of teachers in Israel. How? What? Nicodemus? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born in spirit is spirit. You've got to be born from above. God's got to do a work in your life. He's got to do a heart transplant that's a spiritual giving of life. And when that happens, you enter into this wonderful relationship with God. Wow! What a relationship. You weren't a member of the family. Now you are a member of his family. You didn't bear his name, but now you do bear his name. We have that policy in our country. If you have children and you desire, they're not your own, but you desire to adopt them and bring them into your family and make them your own legally and give them your name, you do that. From time to time, children that are orphaned or left by their parents because their parents die, other family members or somebody that really is close to them will bring them into the family and adopt them legally, and the kids are excited because now they have a family again. You don't have a family eternally unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have a heavenly Father that trumps all fathers. Trumps them all. I'd like to pat myself on the back and say, Ben, you did a good job. That'd be a dumb thing for me to do. I had good moments, but I had disastrous moments as a father. Wasn't because I got up in the morning and said, I'm going to make my kids as miserable. That wasn't my idea. Just happened. Happens to all of us. But you know what? According to this right here in our relationship, God has our best interest in mind 24/7, and he makes it happen. What a God. It's his responsibility to make it happen. Look at verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek, and your Father knows you need them. He knoweth that you have need of these things. He knows that. He knows what you need that you don't even talk about. Aren't there some things in your life you think you need or you would like to have, but you don't talk about? Now, come on, we're voting. I know there is. You human like me. Come on now. Yeah, a few of you honest. I don't know about the rest of you, but. But guess what? Father knows. And he knows whether you truly need it or not. Now, I've bought a few things in my lifetime that probably didn't need. I got a few toys I've sold some. But there's a few things that I bought that, didn't really need. I remember Chris a time or two say, another horse? It already costs $300 a month to take care of the one you got. Well, it'll be $600 now, dear. You can get you a second job if you want. That didn't ever go over good. I didn't need a second horse. All I needed was the one. We do things like that because we want them. But our Father knows exactly what we need, absolutely need. And if we'll look to Him, and if we'll seek Him, He will provide it for us. He said, seek Him first. Seek His kingdom first. Put Him ahead. Men, if we put God first in our life and serve Him, our wives will see God in us and they will be happy because they know that if God's working in our life and they see Him in us, we're going to treat them like queens. We're going to take care of them. We're going to protect them. We're going to provide for them. And we're going to love them. With hugs. Yeah, and wipe away tears. We'll do that. If they see God in us. He has the ability to make it happen. Now, there are a lot of things that I would have liked to give to my kids growing up. But I could not make it happen. I'd have liked to take them on a trip around the world. Couldn't make it happen. Other things just couldn't make it happen. Been a pastor all my life, sometimes bivocational. Churches pay enough to live on. They don't pay enough to get rich on. And I'm not complaining. That's just the way it is. As long as God takes care of me, I'm fine. Don't need any more. I'm not taking any of it with me. Okay? There'll be no armored car at my funeral. I won't take it with me. But listen to me. Whatever you need, God can make it happen if you really need it. When He sent Gabriel to talk to Mary, Mary said, now, wait a minute. This can't happen because I have not known a man, not been with a man, and I don't have plans on being with a man soon. That's what she was saying. Can't happen. What did He say? With God, all things are possible. With God, He can make it happen. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God, who called this world into being when there was nothing and created everything, including you in your mother's womb, before you ever knew your mother, do you think God can't make it happen when you've got a need in your life? Oh, He can make it happen. Stuff can happen that's unreal. Unreal. I remember getting shot at several times flying. One time a round came through and you have to kind of chase them down because you don't want them to hit anything important, you know, your aviation, your electronics, your hydraulics, your powertrain line. You don't want them to hit anything. And so we're chasing this bullet down and can't find it. And there was a guy sitting on the troop seat, just him, and we were taking this colonel out to a field area where he was going to be dropped off to oversee
that gun base. And I got him up. And there in that little aluminum bracket was that slug. Right underneath where he was sitting. A little bit to one side or the other, and it went somewhere. I reached down and took my pocket knife and flipped that out on the floor. And when it hit the floor, so did he. Passed plumb out. You see, God still had a purpose for him. Or he'd have been gone. I've actually seen rounds go through the air. You can do that if you're high enough and they come through the aircraft. They travel slower. You actually see one. Don't want to feel one, but you see one. God has a purpose. He can make it happen. Nothing is impossible for him. Men, he can make it happen in the family. There have been times I've lay prostrate on my face before God in church praying for one of my kids. It's not easy being a preacher's kid. Not easy at all. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. God, they're yours. They're not mine. They're just on loan. God, you can make it happen so they don't get hurt in this situation. It's not a good situation. And I've watched God work behind the scenes. He has the responsibility of watch care and provision and love over our lives. Now, what is our responsibility? We're to put him first. He doesn't need to be here with dust so we could write our name with our finger on our Bibles. There's that much dust. We need to read what he said. Even if it's a little bit at a time. I've got three Bibles on my phone and I read those three Bibles. Well, I got more than three, but I read three on my phone. You can do it sitting down waiting. I don't do it going down the road. I let my Bluetooth talk to me. Folks, there is no excuse in this day and age, in the time in which we live. God has blessed us. There's no reason for us not to know the Word of God. Put him first. When my rooster crows, yeah, he crows every morning. I got a crowing rooster on my alarm clock. He crows. I pick up my phone, hit one of my Bibles, read the devotion of the day before I get out of bed. Takes about 5 to 6 minutes to do that. Don't take very long. Now, I did have to enlarge the print because I can't see you that good without my glasses, but I can read it enlarged. Starts the day. That's not the only time I read, but that's a beginning. Gives me a chance to wake up. We are to put God first. And when you and I put God first and ask him to give us leadership and ask him to show us how we can lead and be the husband he wants us to be and the dad he wants us to be and the uncle and the grandpa he wants us to be. Things will start falling in line. I'm sad about being a grandpa now. I really am. All of my grandkids are old enough now that they can tell immediately when grandpa's pulling their leg. I mean, I used to have so much fun doing that. And now they also old enough, they just look at me and say, yeah, pops, we know. Walk off. Didn't work, did it? No. You can have fun. You can tease. But every one of my grandkids, when they were little, come up, get on my lap, give me hugs and kisses. They didn't have beard back then. They wouldn't do that now. I whisper in their ear, do you know Jesus loves you? Jesus died for you. He loves you. He loves your mama. He loves your daddy. Jesus really loves you. I'd tell them over and over and over again. All of them are saved except the girl from China that they adopted, my son. She'll get there. She's getting old enough. She's starting to understand English. She's starting to understand everything a whole lot better. She's going to be there. But all the rest have saved and baptized. All of them are involved in church. One of them plays the piano for Sunday morning church, and he sings. He sang Victory in Jesus at Chris's funeral. He played for us. The others are working, sound, everything, actively involved in church. God can do things that we can't even start to do. Men, sometimes we just got to give it to God and let Him fix it. And I'm telling you, He can fix it. And if He takes them to the woodshed, it'll be a worse woodshed than you taking them to the woodshed. So I've been there. I don't ever want to be in God's woodshed again. Ever. Because that's not a fun place to be. But when He brings you out of the woodshed, there is love, grace, and mercy abundantly. Now, how do you begin? Well, you find Him as a Father through salvation. You give your heart and life to Him. You confess Him as Lord and Savior, and you trust Him to save you, and He will. You'll not be able to totally explain it, but there's something that only the Holy Spirit can do, and He'll make a change in you. Some people He changes faster than others, but He works on us. And then you've got to be obedient. You've got to be obedient. If you're not obedient, then you're going to have a hard time understanding how God the Father really loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your love and Your grace. Thank You for all the good things. Work in our hearts, work in our lives. If there's a commitment that needs to be made, then Father, make that commitment with people. In Jesus' name, amen.